Father in heaven, thank you so much. Just because of your abundant grace and love, your mercy and your compassion, Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to be called your daughters, God. I thank you for this time. I pray, God, that you would use it to speak to your women, to talk to them, to encourage them, to love them, to gently guide them. I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through us tonight, Father, that you will have what said be what needs to be said,
yes,
and that you would move us out of the way. Thank you again, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight we're talking about what is the goal of getting discipled. Anybody want to raise your hand? Do you remember from last week what's the goal of getting discipled? Okay, we were here last week. Yes. Oh, you gave the lesson last week. You're next.
Good try.
Anybody else? Goal of getting discipled. Okay.
To continually make us more, help us to, encourage us to be more like Jesus.
There you go.
Okay.
Hannah.
See, it works.
I agree.
You did it, Hannah. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Good job with your lesson. It's to have Christ formed within us. If you turn to Galatians 4:19, the NIV version says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." The New Living Translation says, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives." So we get discipling because we need help to become more like Christ.
So the next point is about how discipling is really something that's supposed to be relational. And on that topic, some of you, I don't know if you know who I am. I've been floating around here for a little while now. But my husband Tom and I am Wendy, Tom and Wendy Hughes. And we have been helping work with the youth and family ministry for 8 years now. Wow. And we loved it, to be honest. But now we're going to be transitioning into helping with the campus ministry. To be here. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm going to say right up front so you all know, I'm terrible with names. Terrible. Ask my children, I call them the wrong names all the time. So, please, if I say the wrong name, just tell me, "No, Wendy, my name is this." I'll go, "Okay, sorry." All right, but I have a lot of names I need to learn. So, be patient with me, please. Okay. So, anyway, discipling is relational. Look in your Bibles at Romans 15, verse 14. Okay, Romans 15, verse 14. And that scripture talks about the type of relationship that we get to have with each other as discipling partners. It says, "I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another." So that's Romans 15, verse 14. So something to remember, an attitude to come into a discipling relationship with is that it's a two-way street. You know, it's not a hierarchy. It's not like, this is my discipling partner who is assigned to me, and, you know, you're partners. You're sisters. You know, we're all in this ministry together. We're co-workers. Yeah. We're on the same plane. We're on the same side, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Bible says that even if you think, "Oh, I just have this little tiny mustard seed of faith," right? That you are competent to help one another.
Yeah.
So remember that, you know, really draw on that as you get together, as you spend time together, really get to know one another. Another great thing to do too, though, is I've learned just not to just seek out that discipling partner who maybe was, chosen for me. But there are spiritual women that I will constantly go to for advice, for input, women that I respect, women who maybe are in the same life station as me, you know, or maybe someone who's mature, because I just need a mom's point of view, even though I'm a mom, you know? So all of that is open to you in relationships with the women. So I encourage you to grab a hold of that.
Thank you.
Huh?
That would be great, right?
I'm
you see how we're talking the light?
Oh, wow.
What does this one do? Oh my gosh, there's people back there. One of the reasons why I love that scripture about being competent to instruct one another is because we have the Bible to help each other with. So it's not like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. It's like, well, what does the Bible say about this? What would God have us do? That goes into discipling is Bible-based. We're going to look at 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3, verse 15. Anybody get there yet? Somebody can read it for me. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 15. Yes. Scriptures. So it's not like it's person dependent. It's really Bible dependent. So in discipling, yes, you may get opinions, you may get practicals, but it's time that we need to strive to make that time Christ-centered. You really want to see what is the Bible's instructions on this, because that's what we're trying to carry out. Discipling is about helping each other guide your life by the Bible, right? So you want to take that and incorporate it into your life. And we're all figuring that out as we go. I appreciate Wendy so much because she's one of the most humble people I know. And she's just great at saying, okay, this is what happened, help me out. Like, what do you think I should have done? What could I have done? You know, what scripture encourages you? So it's Bible-based. Colossians 2, 6 through 8. Anybody there? That was quick, I know.
Let me go.
Okay.
And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you are taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. I'm sorry, I'm ready for an NLT.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's good. From human thinking and from spiritual powers in this world, rather than Christ.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I think, guess what? I was a philosophy major in college, and I read this verse in college. It was like, philosophy, the words of the Bible. But what it's saying here is, yeah, like, you don't want to base your life on philosophy. You don't want to base it on human traditions. I don't know if you guys noticed, but this is 2019. Things that they said, this is what you should do in 2010. Has anybody noticed? That is the very thing you're not supposed to do in 2019. Mm-hmm. Like, am I wrong here? Like, you guys noticed that? Like,
yeah.
These things, it's like, oh yeah, it's great. Like, in 2010, maybe they said, okay, you can't drink coffee. Like, coffee is so bad for you. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, oh, cold brew. Okay. I'm so confused.
We were talking about it at work today, that we were saying how, you know, even 10 years ago, that there were so many things on television, if you watch some of the old series, right, and the jokes they would make.
Yeah.
Or even just like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
the
you totally could not make those now. Right. Totally not appropriate to make those jokes now.
Yeah.
That wasn't that long ago. So.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's even more, to help you understand that really we need to just base it on the Bible. That's awesome.
Okay. And another kind of attitude to think about having is, in discipling, the goal, you want to strive for a ratio of 10 to 1. What, right?
Yes.
That's what you're waiting for.
What?
So 10 encouragements to 1 correction.
Wow.
Now, a little clue, that's what they say in parenting, too. Now, another little tidbit, as a parent, that's really hard. Okay? There's times it's really hard. But, as my dear friend Allison pointed out, having that as a goal for yourself in your relationships, in any relationship, is it means that you're going to be having your mindset on that, right?
Wow.
So you're naturally going to have some more encouragement come out of you, right? You're thinking, I need 10. All right, what can I come up with? Let me think of something. You know, what can I say? And so, again, it's the goal. That's what you're striving for. But how many of us respond really well to being corrected all the time? I rest my case. How many of us respond really well when we're encouraged?
Yeah.
Right? You see? I mean, you know, so it goes both ways. Again, that relationship, right, in discipling, you know, it's coming in. You're both coming in with, oh, how can I encourage you? Mm-hmm. And maybe they really blew it, you know, and you're inside going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. But you know what? There's got to be some kind of encouragement here. How can I encourage you? Okay? And if you look at 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, verse 11. So I've got a couple scriptures from 1 Thessalonians. Would anyone like to read that one? It's chapter 5, verse 11. Go ahead, read.
Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing.
Right, so here, the Bible's saying, look, you're doing it, right? You're encouraging each other. Keep doing it. Keep building each other up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Anybody else have that one? Chapter 2, verse 7. You're pointing. Blair has it. Go ahead.
See. 1 Thessalonians 2, right?
Yes. Okay. Verse 7.
Instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children. Sorry, right. Care.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so there's also a translation in the English Standard Version. It says, instead, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. Have you watched moms at all take care of their babies?
Yeah.
Chelsea, there you go. There's a perfect example, right? Gentle, right? You know, and they're sitting there screaming their heads off, or they're, you know. But, you know, there's that gentleness that we want to try to have with each other. It's another way that we can encourage each other. Okay. So just strive to keep it positive. Build each other up. Believe the best in each other.
Yeah.
Okay? I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Believe the best. Just like you want people to assume the best about you, as no matter what the situation, you assume the best about them.
Yeah.
Right? So at this time, I have a disclaimer to read to you. This is for relational purposes. All characters appearing in the following tableaus are fictitious and for relatability and entertainment reasons only. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead or actual life situations is purely coincidental. Feelings of conviction, however, just might be the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that being said, Allison, you're not going to believe this. Oh my gosh. Okay, wait. So I was talking to Susie, okay? Now, Susie and I, yeah, you know, we're trying to, like, build our friendship.
Right.
You know, be relational.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were so excited. Last night, we got online and we saw that there's this huge concert in Central Park.
Really?
Yes. It's going to be so amazing. And after the concert, there's this big show that they're doing.
Okay.
All right. And so we got tickets. And it was so cool because you had to go on this lottery and we're, you know, clicking everything. And we're like, are we going to get it? I don't know.
Right?
And we got the tickets.
You did.
We got them. It
wow.
was amazing.
That's so cool.
We're like, God did this.
No, you know? And I like how you're building with Susie. That's so cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I wanted to let you know, though, because it's going to be next Sunday.
Okay.
And so, we, you know, it's going to be all day long. So we're going to be there early, and I wanted you to know where we were.
Okay.
We're going to be at church. But anyway, you know, I don't want you to worry, though.
Okay.
Because we didn't want to come home late at night. We didn't think that would be really
wise
from the city.
Yeah.
So we talked to Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the brother Joe in Manhattan?
Yeah.
But from, mm-hmm. Yeah. He said we could stay at his place. So anyway, it's going to be me, and it's going to be Susie.
Okay.
And
okay.
So he has two rooms, so we'll just be in one room together, the two of us, you know. And then, so anyway, aren't you excited?
Great.
I'm so excited.
Oh, wow. Concert, huh?
Yeah.
So, like, what was your plan for communion and, you know, fellowship on Sunday? And, like...
Oh. Oh, I'm such a sinner.
Just
fix me.
Okay.
Fix me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about it. Okay. All right. Okay, so turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2.
Wait,
what? Woo! Woo! you know, some attitudes to bring into discipling, maybe some examples of what not to bring into discipling. But Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. So I'm going to let you turn there. So some things to remember, discipling is not just fix me. You know, yeah. It's not, here I am, I'm, you know, work on me, help me out. You know, it's not coming in and asking permission. You know, like, here's my plan. You know, I'll do that, but, you know, let me make sure it's okay with my discipling partner. You know, it's not about permission. Does that make sense? Okay. And it's also not about rubber stamping your choices. You know? So in Philippians chapter 2, 13 and 14, it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Okay, we can learn some things from this scripture. Who is it that's working in us? God. God is working in you, okay? But it also says, who is responsible for your salvation? You are, right? It's your job. It's your salvation. You know, we're not going to be able to stand in front of God on Judgment Day and say, "Well, Susie told me it was a good idea." You know, Susie won't be there. It's just going to be Wendy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just me. And I need to have, you know, my own convictions about that.
Yeah.
I need to be working on building those up. You know, it's about working out your own salvation. And, you know, searching things out in the scriptures. Now, I remember as a young disciple, I didn't always know what to look for. I knew kind of sort of what the problem was. But I'm like, but how do I find the answer to that in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you can relate to that.
Yes.
And that's okay. So you kind of hunt around a little. And you ask, you can ask people. Say, you know, here's what's going on. I want to study it out. But, you know, what something that helps is you, for me, what helped was kind of looking for the Bible word in it. You know, like in that scenario. Let's see, what could be some Bible words that jumped out at you? Things like words you'd find in the Bible. Like,
Wisdom
is a Bible word.
Surrender.
Okay. Or pride.
Meetings
of the body, right? You know, different things like that, that you can get a, go online and Google. I Google all the time now, right? Do you guys know what a concordance is?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are online. You can also actually get physical ones, like actual books. I have one at home. I know, it's crazy. But, you know, use a concordance. Go online, Google it out. There's all kinds of stuff that to help you grow your own convictions from the word, okay? And it's not wrong to get input. It's not wrong to come and ask. But it's not anybody else's job but your own to build your convictions. And discipling can help you build your convictions, but it's not a substitute for that. You know?
Right.
Right? We don't want that work now.
Wow. Can somebody turn to, or actually all of you, turn to Proverbs 15, verse 22? And I like what Wendy said about Googling it out. When I do searches on the internet and I'm looking up Bible scriptures, it's cool because you get different translations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really helpful. Like even some of the versions that we've read tonight are really helpful. Proverbs 15, verse 22. The NIV version says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed."
Wow.
So why does God say plans fail without input? Anybody? Yeah.
Well, even just like in the example, like your advisor brought up a lot of points that you weren't, that you just didn't see, like you just didn't think
right.
about it. You know, so having more than just your eyes on a situation can show you new things, new perspectives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like I think about like advisors in college, like when you go to college, I mean, unless you're like a super person, you don't really know what you're doing, so they give you an advisor
mm-hmm.
to like mitigate that and like be mm-hmm. like, well, you know, make sure what.
That's a very good point. So getting advice is spiritual, and the time to get it is before your plans are all completed. Wendy had purchased the ticket, worked out where they were going to stay. It was all, yeah.
And you want to get somebody else's perspective and input. Like Riel was saying, maybe they're aware of something that you didn't see. There's something else going on there. So Wendy, I needed to let you know that I was like struggling with something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's all good now. Like, I just told Satan no. I mean, I just said, like, no. Yeah.
That's biblical.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. So when was the last time you struggled with this? What?
This morning.
Okay. Have you been struggling with this for a while? Is it a constant thing? Or
yeah, like every time. Yeah. Every time I'm like really tempted with it, I just tell him no.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm just curious. Okay. Why haven't I heard about this struggle before?
Well, I mean, I really thought I got this. You know, I mean, like I'm telling him no. Like mm-hmm. so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like sometimes I give in, but then I'm like, no, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
We all got it.
Yeah, we all got our money. The world's ending.
Oh, it's me. Yeah. So Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." You want to come in your discipling time with your worst foot forward. Can you imagine going to the doctor? You've got a problem. And she says, well, what's the problem? And you're like, well, it's really kind of embarrassing. I don't want to talk about it. Well, how's she going to help you, right? Obviously. So you don't want to just figure out your solution. You also don't. So I want to, it's a fine line here because like Wendy was saying, you do. Okay, we know. So you do want to work on it, right? You do want to look in the scripture. You do want to pray about it. You want to build your own convictions. But we're not saying arrive to discipling time with everything all figured out. You know, you don't want to come in like, oh, I was struggling with this, and then I just read that, and then I just did this, and I said, Satan, no, and then, you know, like, but I'm good. I'm good now. It's kind of like, it's a lot more like, well, all right, so this is what's going on. This is how I handled it. I'm not sure if I should have done something else. I'm not sure if that was the best way to have done it, if you already handled it, or this is how I'm working through it. Can you help me out with this? And this is how I blew it.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you want to be open in the struggle and not just the resolution. And it makes you relatable. All are tempted. All struggle. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Pray for each other. It's mutual. I love talking to Wendy about stuff. I mean, she just makes me feel like you're a person too, and it's okay. I'm like, yay, I'm not losing my mind. And I'm not some terrible person because I'm struggling with this. We all struggle with this.
Yeah.
I think that's how Satan will want to trap us, right?
Yeah.
That nobody else can relate to this, or what will they think of me, or, you know, that I should be beyond this. You know, sometimes we can hear that voice too, right?
Yeah.
I've been a Christian how long? And, you know, who do you think is saying that? It's not God.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
That's Satan, because he does not want you to be open. When we're open, when we bring things into the light, that is really when God can move. I can't tell you how many times I have had this huge thing in me just like consuming me. And as the words are coming out of my mouth as I'm telling someone, it's like I can see them and I'm going, that is so stupid. You know, like, that. Why is that taking over my life? Like that, is, what? You know,
yes.
But it's like it's put it out in the light. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about that. 1 John 1, John in John chapter 3, it talks about, you know, coming into the light, right? Putting things in the light. That's where God can do His best work. And you know, Allison does the same for me. You know, I've called her many a time. You know, and with different things going on and. You know, it helps you realize you aren't crazy. You know, that the life is real, it's a struggle, and we're here to help each other out, you know, and use the Bible to do that. It's an incredible tool. So Allison, Oh my gosh! You would not believe this!
What happened?
Come here. You know I'm living with my grandma, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I love her, I really do. But do you know last night, I'm at this huge lecture about what time I'm coming home, you know, who am I hanging out with, you know, what have I been doing, did I clean my room? I mean, she went on and on and on. I cannot wait to have enough money saved to get out of that house. I'm an adult.
Oh, wow.
I shouldn't be treated that way, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm saving up to move out, you know? She treats me like a child.
So did something happen that you know, that kind of...
She's crazy. She's just crazy. That's all there is to it. So this is where you get to make the choice, right? Do I get open and be completely honest? Or I just blame grandma? You know, what's it going to be? But again, right, it's about how am I going to get my help? Did you want to do this first?
Sure. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account."
So, you know, you can fool your discipling partner, right? And you can even fool yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty. I have done in my 20-some years of discipleship. I'm sure I have. But you can't fool God.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, right? That's who we're trying to serve. We're trying to have Christ formed in us. So, you know, there's no fooling God. The scripture right here. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. But the really great thing is, right, and we share this with people when we study the Bible with them, right, but God gives us the answer key, right? He gives us the textbook. It's an open notebook quiz. We get to have the Bible open and learn from it and be honest. You know, and in those moments you have the choice of, yeah, this is how I'm feeling, but, well, yeah, I guess when I got home at like 2 in the morning, maybe Grandma was a little worried about me. Maybe that wasn't really respectful of me to do that, you know? Maybe when I walked into my room and closed the door, even though the air pressure was a little bit bigger and it pushed the door closed really loud. I heard that. I didn't mean to slam that. Yeah. You know, what can I grow in? What can I change in? Be completely honest, right? Be transparent. Because we're not really fooling anybody. And it will come out, you know? So I think just, you know, we want you to remember that discipling is for you. You know, there are people in the world that pay a lot of money to have somebody to go get with and talk, right, and listen and give input. And God gives it to you as this incredible gift, right? Part of your salvation, and it really is a gift. So, you know, this is for you. It's about Christ being formed in you. But it's not going to happen if we're not vulnerable, right, and open and real. And our human nature is what? That we can justify what?
Everything.
Just about anything. We can justify it. We can find a reason why it's okay, right, or why that, you know, kind of shaded a little. And it kind of sort of applies in the scripture, but, you know, still kind of getting my way there, too. And I share these examples, I share them because I've been there, you know. I've done a lot of these things at times. But, you know, Jesus, if Jesus is Lord, then, you know, he's Lord of everything.
Yeah.
And he's Lord of our emotions, right?
Yeah.
He's Lord of, like Allison said, you know, putting our worst foot forward, being humble and open and honest with each other so that we can really help each other, so we can pray for each other. You know, to come to your discipling times and any time with an attitude of openness, humility, honesty, seeking to please God, and bring your Bible with you, right? Study things out. Bring encouragement, compassion, love, friendship. It's my best friend. It's a give and take relationship, right? You each have input. You each are there to help each other. And God wants to use each of you to form Christ in each other. You are important. You matter.
Yeah, so at this point, we wanted you guys to go ahead and break up into your D groups and think about the lesson. Think about what you're hearing the Holy Spirit say to you. What do you feel like you're being convicted with?
Yeah, I was going to just close out.
Okay,
sorry. I'm not sure if we're going to have time for D groups tonight because of the weather and all that, but let's give it up for Flaney and Allison. Thank you guys so much for sharing. And I just want to share a quick scripture with you guys in Psalm 139 that, because I love this topic, the idea of discipling and really being in each other's lives, women helping women. I mean, that's even a big, like, movement in the world today, and that's really what we're trying to live out, is being women in each other's lives, helping each other be better. And this scripture just came to mind, and I wanted to share it. In Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." And I love this. The scripture talks about how God made us, knit us together in our mother's womb, how he made us wonderfully complex. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And that he watched us being formed in utter seclusion. Like he saw us when we were just cells in our mother's bodies. And he knows us so inside and out. And that just makes me feel so loved by God.
Yeah.
And that what makes me feel so even more so loved by God is that in verse 16 where he says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day in my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." And what I think about then is I think about all the things that have happened in my life, like some really good, some really bad. And I think about all the people God has put in my life. Again, some really good, some really bad. And I think about how God did all that. He formed my life the way it has been so that I can have a relationship with him. And so that it would help me to be my best person for him. And so that's really what I think about when I think about these relationships of having women in your life who are going to help you be your best for God. I think really the heart of it is this idea that God placed these people in your life just for the specific times that they are, so that they can help you with something specific that's going to make you your best for God, or help you to really build a relationship with God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think about for myself, like when I was 16, I grew up, my parents, my dad's a minister, so I grew up like going to church like 3 times a week, like excessively, it felt like. And so I thought I knew God and like had a relationship with God, but then when I was like 15 or so, or even younger, 14, I started having severe depression, it was self-harming, and had a lot of anxiety, and it led me to be really rebellious, started having sex, just trying to get high, doing everything that like I thought would make God mad, and I just went into super rebellion mode because I was so just confused, like why would I struggle with depression if I've always had God in my life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I think what's so amazing is that like God, even then, like when I was 16, put specific people in my life who were able to study the Bible with me and help me learn how to build a relationship with God, and were able to show me the truth in the scriptures about how much God loves me, how he hasn't abandoned me, and how he's using everything in my life to form me for him. And I've seen that theme now ever since I was 16 and became a Christian. I'm 29 now. So I've, you know, the past 13 years, I've been through lots of ups and downs with my mental health, the depression, anxiety, and I've seen God use the Bible to give me just what I need, and use people in my life to give me just what I need, and to help me and support me through college and dating and now marriage. I've been married for 6 years. I have 2 young boys. Like, God has always given me the scriptures I needed to hear and the people to help me hear them. And he's just been so faithful to me in those days. And through all those different stages, I feel like it just goes back to Psalm 139, that like God is just kind of writing your life so that you could have a relationship with him, and so that you could be your best with him and be with him one day. And so just remember that as you hear these things and as you study things out in the Bible, that maybe God is trying to tell you something, or he's putting certain people in your life to help you find him. I just wanted to close this out with encouraging you guys. You know, I know you could hear a lesson like this, but it could be like, how could I do that? Because it's so like not how we're used to living, like really talking about things with other women. Like, that's just not how I grew up. And so I just wanted to encourage you, though, that God put all of you in each other's lives and gave you guys the Bible to really help you find him.
Yeah,
we're gonna, we can be dismissed right here.
Yeah, you want to pray?
Okay.
All right, I just want to make sure we get home safe. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for what Chelsea shared. Thank you for how you love us, God, and how you've given us your scriptures, and then the people who can help us to apply those scriptures and to understand how much you love us, Father. We are truly blessed. God, I pray that each woman tonight will leave with a special message from you to her, and that she'll hear more than anything the love that you're whispering to her. Yeah. I also pray, Father, that you'll help each one of us to get home safely and quickly. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.